spokesperson, take two.
A musing spokesperson. Who wants to start first? Maybe just have the mic pointed your direction. Brian and Linda, welcome back again. I love talking to you in this format, and I love talking about change because I'm the type of person who, I don't love change for the sake of change, but I enjoy it. I often embrace it if I can see that there's some sort of point to change. Like, we're not just changing for the sake of change, but there's like a point to it. We're growing, we're developing, whatever it is. So our fourth C is change. Why don't we start like we've done with the other ones? What is change? What are we talking about with change? Why is this important to the overall discussion in our team engagement series? But before we do that, we're going to do the intro. You are listening to the Leadership Vision Podcast, where we share our expertise in the discovery, practice, and implementation of a strengths-based approach to people, teams, and culture. For resources about developing your strengths, the strengths of your team, or the strengths of your entire organization, visit us on the web at leadershipvisionconsulting.com. Hello, everyone. My name is Nathan Freeberg, and welcome back to our fourth and final podcast episode of our Team Engagement Series podcast episode series. That's a lot of episode series podcast talk. There's a link in the show notes to now hear all four of these episodes in the series. I know I've been saying that for the last couple of weeks, but now they're all there, all four of them. Go back and listen to any of them that you missed, any that you need to have a refresher on, whatever it is. To recap, we've talked about collaboration, communication, conflict, and now today we're going to be talking about change. And while these four episodes can stand on their own, it'll be helpful for you to listen to all of them in order to get a better sense for how we help teams thrive. But before we talk about change today, I think it would be helpful to share just a bit about our process and start with our definition of a team engagement series. So what is a team engagement series? At Leadership Vision, a team engagement series consists of four 90-minute sessions on a given topic. We have a few of these. The four C's is one, which you'll be learning about here over the next few weeks. But we also have sessions on knowledge, purpose, and trust, emotional health and well-being, courageous leadership, and strengths-based team development. All of these sessions were really born out of necessity. Our clients just kept asking for them.
And a lot of the series that we have developed is as a result of clients that we work with that use strengths, that use it in a variety of ways, that are using it on their teams, they're using it to influence culture. And they have, as we've worked with different teams, this whole process has evolved, and it kind of allows us to flex some of our adaptive muscles as we talk to people about how they communicate and how they collaborate and navigate conflict and change.
The Four C's series, as we like to call it, was created because we found that teams that were good at collaborating, communicating, conflict management, and dealing with change, well, they just seemed to be the most successful.
We had the opportunity to work with 100 teams with a specific organization, and it was after working with these 100 teams that we began to ask ourselves the question, what makes some teams successful, and why are some teams always struggling to get along with each other and even to accomplish anything? And through asking that question, we just started talking as a team about what were some of those key elements, and we just happened to just fall on these ideas of every team that is doing well, every team that has a high degree of functionality, they tend to communicate well, they know how to work together, so they know how to collaborate, and they tend to have unique ways of navigating conflict and dealing with change, because in the organizational environments that we are finding ourselves working in, change and conflict is always coming up. And coincidentally, it's those four same things that seem to be the key issues when teams begin to struggle. It can kind of get boiled down to a breakdown in collaboration, miscommunication, and then a team's willingness to either engage change or deal with conflict.
So that's where this whole team engagement idea started. What made teams healthy and what were some of their struggles? Now, when we're called in to work with teams around these topics, well, sometimes they can be in a bit of a crisis situation, but more often than not, we come in and work on these competencies to better prepare a team to handle them when these things do inevitably come up.
A lot of times when teams begin to struggle with something, they get really focused on what that one thing is. And everyone's mind is focused on that. And there really isn't this awareness, you could say, of what's really at stake. So you can solve for the problem, you can solve for that solution, but never really address that there was miscommunication between a couple of people, that there was a relational conflict existing there, so some people weren't even playing. And that's really what we're trying to get at is there are just ways in which teams tend to function and relate to one another. And when the heat is dialed up and the problems are right in their faces, they tend to forget that we still need to communicate well. We still need to understand what our collaborative objective is. I think that's what it is that we are doing, is helping people just understand what is the natural relational dynamic that exists on that team. Because if a team cannot understand the relational dynamic, they're oftentimes going to struggle in trying to achieve any professional objective.
We also approach these sessions first from the perspective of the individual, then the team, and finally the overall organizational culture.
When we talk about people, we usually focus on the individual. We seed them back into their experience, their environment. We move to teams and help people understand that they are a part of a team, whether they are the leader of the team or they are a leader on the team. And then we move to what this topic says about the culture and helps people realize that they are a shaper of culture, and they can use their strengths and some of the things that they are learning about themselves and each other to, you know, have some kind of action statement out of this.
Now that you know some of the background philosophy of a team engagement session, let's dive into our conversation today around the topic of change. And because we're talking about change, I thought I would sort of change up the format for this episode. For reasons that will become obvious later in the recording here, this one flows more like a conversation. And when you get to that part, imagine having that same conversation with the people on your team. You'll know what I mean when you hear it. Okay, so let's start with Brian answering that question from the beginning about what is change and why we saved it for the last year.
Well, we saved change as the last topic in this series for a reason. We live in an environment and in a business environment where change is always, always, always happening. Conflict happens every now and again. Some teams have conflict more often than others. But one of the things that you cannot avoid is change. So we really say this one to last because it is an exclamation point on the entire process. And we also believe that teams that collaborate well, they can navigate change well. Teams that communicate well can navigate change well. Teams that can deal with conflict well can navigate change well. And I think that everybody has dealt with change since their early childhood. So change is also part of something that we have as a natural rhythm. So it's something that we all can connect on. We know it's important. And so we begin these sessions when we introduce this topic with the idea of how is it that we apply this to people. And we just ask this question, why is change important? And why is it important for us to talk about change now? And for a lot of the team engagement sessions, that's how we start this one, is just with that question. Let them turn to a neighbor and talk for a while. And the room typically just explodes in conversation just on this one topic, because everyone has an opinion on change.
And the more that we hear people talking, the more we hear what part of change they're actually drawn to. So we can say the word change, and there's a lot of things that kind of pop up, like, oh, change is when, you know, the seasons change, or change is when, you know, it has actually happened, or change is when I'm actually preparing for it. And so a question we do ask, just, you know, to get the ball rolling as well, is to say, when are you best in change? Are you best before, during, and or after? And usually people are wrestling a little bit, and people that love it will say all three. Sometimes people will say, like, before, and you better include me,
right?
Or I'm not going to be helpful in that. And oftentimes we start with that prompt, and then after a full 90-minute session, we will end with that again. And after they have kind of excavated some of their thinking in this topic, we find that people say, well, after we kind of talked it through, actually I'm best during change. I'm super anxiety filled before. And maybe I'm really, you know, much better after. And so even that kind of frame causes people to say, oh, when you define change, you're defining it at this moment in time, and I'm defining it at that moment in time.
One of the things that I like doing when I teach this is actually have people get up and go to a corner of the room and say, that's the before corner, the during, and the after corner. And often people will place themselves on a spectrum. It's like, well, I'm not fully before. I kind of like sort of the before / middle line. And then that invites a whole nother discussion about, you know, again, the spectrums of change and what's fully before, fully after. And then one time we had someone, I don't remember what he called it, but it was like, I like the process that goes, because you're constantly changing. So the process of going from after back to the beginning, that's what I like. I was like, interesting.
Yeah, I like that. We also ask people to think of a significant change that has happened in their life. And like, when was their first memory when something significant changed and they had to adapt to it? So we ask them what prompted the change, who was involved in that change, and how did that change shape your attitude towards change right now? And so I think when people then go back, they may realize, like, once that event happened, I always dealt with change beforehand, or then that made me realize I'm much better after. Some people have had to actively adapt to change their entire life, so they're obviously the ones that come to life when it's going on. Those who are taken by surprise when change happens, they tend to swing towards the after. So I think that that's really important to anchor experientially how it is that we deal with change. Is something that's happened maybe 10, 20, 30 years ago that really helped shape our perspective on change and the importance of change.
There's also a strengths application that we make when we're working with teams that are really trafficking in the strengths language. And we will say, you know, we'll have them list out all of their strengths, and they will provide examples of when certain strengths are helpful during change and when they're degenerative. And so, you know, for me, I have connectedness, and I know that, you know, during change, I connect intentionally. And that's how, you know, I stay alive. That's how I stay positive. But if it is, you know, changing for the sake of change, some of the negative things that you were naming at the beginning, Nathan, I will disconnect on purpose. So in my connectedness, I will disconnect on purpose, and that it just changes a lot of things. So if you add a strengths lens to the positive ways you navigate change and the ones that are, you know, not so negative, that's another way to deepen this conversation.
Okay, so here's the part of the conversation that really made me rethink the whole way I was going to present this topic here. In short, Linda and I gave some real-time feedback to Brian, the boss, the president, and CEO, founder of Leadership Vision, about how he handles change. And as you'll hear in a second here, there were perhaps some different opinions about that between the three of us.
It seems so obvious to me. I'm a before guy. My strengths of connectedness and intellection... I want to think into what change is coming so that when the decision is made, then I get out of the way, because I'm not the guy that does well during the change. And after is like watching game film. I have no interest in that at all, because once a change happens, it's on to the next change. So for me, there's like, I just don't want to be in it to be in it. I want to be all before.
I would disagree. Totally disagree.
Yep. You disagree with me?
Yes.
Going back to the third
conflict.
We're going back. Yeah, going back to conflict here. Linda, why
do you
disagree?
Yeah,
and
me more.
This is fun. We're doing live time team engagement work right here with Brian and Linda.
We're married.
Please, Linda, share. I'd love to be enlightened on how I navigate change.
Well, I think there are times when, if we think too much about it, you're already in the future. And so the before just, you know, sometimes more anxiety comes than is needed. And it's just that moment from before to during where Brian is responsive and he is on and he is making magic right in that moment. And so maybe it's the beginning of during, because very quickly he's on to the next thing. His futuristic pulls him into those spaces. Would you agree or disagree?
All right. I agree. There is that excitement right before and right at the beginning of change that just, I feel like I'm on. Then on to the next thing.
And I think sometimes you don't even get to the during. This change is going to happen. Check it off the list. And then sometimes you're surprised that there is a during or a middle.
Yes.
You're like, wait, what? I thought we made this decision and we moved on. It's like, well, Brian, but we cast the large vision or presented the big idea, but there was like 150 little decisions that had to be made before we could say this is done. You're like, what are you talking about?
That sounds familiar too.
Over the course of the last, how long have we been working together? 12 years? 10, 12 years, somewhere in that. I, and now some of our other colleagues, have learned, like, of those 150 middle decisions, which are the half a dozen or a dozen that Brian's going to care about, and which ones is he not going to care about, and how do you kind of bring you back into that so it feels like a beginning experience again, even though it's firmly in the middle of this one big project? Am I right, Linda?
You are so right, and I think
a relational drift here.
This is all good. I say this all
this
in
is
love.
Great.
Because, and Linda, pause. The point I want to make here, too, is that there's no right or wrong in any of these things. It's understanding and acknowledging, this is where I thrive, this is what I like. And just because Brian is in one area and you and I might be in a different area, we need all the areas to make any kind of lasting, meaningful change, correct?
Well, I absolutely agree with that. And I also agree with the notion that, you know, we all take a different approach and we need and we rely on Brian's entrepreneurial style.
100%.
And so, you know, we can't judge him for some of the other areas. And so
a little
part
bit
of this
sometimes.
Is... Okay.
I'm kidding.
But we still agree that I'm right, right?
No, hashtag I'm right.
Go on, Linda. Sorry, I interrupted.
Hashtag still sitting here.
No, we don't want to squash the entrepreneur. So this is not just, all right, everyone needs to get better in the during category and everyone needs to get better in the after category. It's know who you need to hand off to, have kind of appropriate expectations, not just, you know, helping people just, you know, be average, but pushing them in a lot of different ways. And I love that we can have these conversations here at Leadership Vision and on our team and, you know, kind of push each other live time so we can all be better.
And I think what just happened here is a great example of how teams successfully navigate change is through this unique behavioral awareness of how each team member responds to change. Because given the chance, I could talk about Linda, Nathan, Sarah, Melissa, Heather, and Steph, just how it is that we each adapt to change themselves. Because it's in that there's an invitation to a collaborative adaptation, which is unique to each team. It's like a mathematical formula. Every variable is different. Every team is different. And how each team navigates change is determined by our self-awareness of the other members of the team. So I think that what we're talking about here is just an example of that. We've gone through so much change as a company, and we've experienced it together, and we're also very aware of what's happening in each other, and we're always tending to navigate something in this realm. But it's all based on our awareness of individual reactions when change is happening.
Right. It's the old, truth of the only constant in life is change. So where do we go from here, Linda? Like, what is the, like, it's, you know, there's some awareness, there's some kind of laughing about it and, you know, pointing fingers in a healthy, productive way. But like, where do we go from here? How do we actually change the way that we look at change?
We contextualize it on a team. And so we move from that personal preference, the personal comfort level with change, the personal approach, and then we move it into teams. And when we start to talk about change within teams, we often lean into what are some of our needs around change, our needs to understand a variety of things, our needs to actually make a commitment, and the needs that we have so that we can adjust. Because when change hits us, we can either, you know, just really struggle and always struggle, or we can learn to thrive. And we find that that thriving happens by naming our needs. Children name needs, they cry about it. You know, Nathan, your kids tell you exactly.
It's very clear. It is very clear.
When they have a need. And I think as adults, we don't always have those same words or some of those same skills because we're just supposed to like suck it up and know. And when we talk about change in the context of teams, we are drilling into individual needs so that team members can help meet those needs and not, you know, every single time, but be aware of it so that that change can be a thriving place and not just a place of struggle.
We'll be right back.
At Leadership Vision Consulting, we have spent 23 years helping individuals explore the depth and dimension of their personal strengths and have helped hundreds of teams build positive culture. We're excited to now announce our new online membership platform that brings together the resources, community, and motivation that you need to grow your influence and build a positive team culture. Through our courses, workshops, live Q&A sessions, and more, you'll gain the skills and confidence you need to lead effectively. And with our supportive community of like-valued leaders, you'll never feel like you're doing it alone. Visit leadershipvisionconsulting.com/community to learn more.
I think sometimes, too, it's like, I don't know if I have permission to state my needs. And so what I think we do in this process is we give people permission to say, I need structure in change. I'm okay if we're going to end up somewhere, but this is what I need. Someone else to say, I need to know that the only reason we're doing this is because we want to get better, or whatever that need is. So giving permission to say, hey, I need this, I need this. It's when we feel like we can't express our needs in any topic or realm or context. That's when I think people start getting that kind of fight or flight mentality.
Right. And that's why in this process, we dedicate time to just going through an exercise that gives people the chance to name what their needs are.
Yep.
And I have to tell you that most of the time when we do that, this is the first time a team has heard other people's needs, even the first time they've considered, what do I need to successfully navigate change? Like, when do you need information? What types of motivation do you need to actually engage the change itself? How do you know when change is over or when it's okay to let go of that change or engage it even more? There's just several different ways that we begin to facilitate the teasing out of what a person needs. We can use strengths as a part of that when a team is really deeply versed in strengths. When you're going through change, your strength of blank needs what? Like your strength of futuristic needs to know, where are we going? Your strength of empathy needs to know, how is everyone feeling with this change? My strength of discipline needs to know, what systems must be in place here for change to be successful? So all of that, no matter what the process is or what the prompts are, it's to get at one thing. What do you need to navigate change successfully, and what do you need to be a contributor to how the team navigates change? We never mistake that this is not one person's responsibility. It's a team's responsibility to successfully navigate change.
Because as you know, when needs aren't being met, frustration builds.
Cool.
And it, right?
Doesn't it ever? Holy cow.
That's frustrating.
And so even injecting this kind of attitude within a team, saying, you know, tell me something you need, and just making it okay in a really, you know, safe space, because you don't want to be needy. There's, you know,
right,
there's no crying in baseball. there's all these statements around it where it's like, it's not cool to name your needs. You should just know. Or,
and I think it's a balance, right?
Yeah.
Name them, but also have realistic expectations that we're adults and you don't always get all of your needs met all the time.
I like it. Yep. That's right. But that's one of the ways that we really help people navigate change better is to naming the needs and hearing you know, other team members name those needs mm-hmm. as well. It's the naming process is pretty powerful at this point.
And I don't know where I heard this, but even the process of naming your needs, even if they're not met, there's something that is makes it okay if you just stated it and someone considered it, but then was like, well, I appreciate you sharing that, but unfortunately we can't meet that. It's like, okay, well, at least it was out there and you thoughtfully considered it. So we've talked about individual preferences, what that looks like then on a team, kind of getting people on the same page. What about the culture then? Because ultimately it's the culture that perhaps matters, because a lot of time it's the quote unquote culture that is enacting this change or putting this change on top of people. And I don't want to say forcing it, but saying, hey, this change has to happen. So how do you bring this to a cultural level?
Yeah, Nathan, and you set this up earlier by just addressing, when you have a need, name the need. When you're naming, you're making it known. And so when it comes to this idea of how does your team culture deal with change, there are some things that we are always asking teams to begin to name. So one of the prompts is, what team behaviors come to life when change happens? So you're naming behaviors. How do we behave? How do we act as a team when change happens? That in and of itself creates a crazy conversation. It's awesome. Another thing that we ask is, what are the norms? How does a team deal with change? Is there a process or isn't there? You'd be surprised at people's responses. The third thing that pops up is, what is the team culture's attitude towards change? Some team cultures get excited, some avoid, some ponder. So there's always some type of attitude that is already there. And then here is something that we always find interesting is, as your team is going through change, what does it say about your values? How are your values represented when you're going through change? I know that one of the values that we have is that we play as a team, we play our position. So as we're going through change, we tend to ask people questions like, well, what does this mean to us right now? What roles do we play in the team? So that is one of the values. But some people may have the value of compassion. Some people may have a value of purpose, that change needs to align to their purpose. That just depends. But all in all, we believe that as a team navigates change, or even as they're dealing with conflict, how do those patterns, attitudes, and behaviors reflect your organizational values? And as a team leader, I think it's a great time to remind teams like, hey, this is what we're about. No matter how this change may feel or what happens on the other side, we are about these things and this is what we value. Even change itself can be a value.
One of the things that we ask teams to talk about when we are trying to understand the culture a little bit more of the organization is, what matters most to that team? And oftentimes, you know, Brian said, you know, they'll reveal the things that they value, but sometimes those values are in opposition with what the management's providing or what upper leadership is providing. And sometimes even talking about this allows them to not be passive aggressive or not be like, that's because our culture is toxic. But once again, we're challenging them to take ownership and find a way to say, all right, I need to communicate in a way that people can hear that I need a certain level of support, or that I need to know that people's hearts are in the right place, or that they're considering the person, or they're able to answer the question why. And even understanding those things is like, oh, you believe that too? You think that too? If there's a gap, then that's almost like it empowers the group to change the culture together and not be whiners about it, but do it in a very healthy way.
Thank you again to Brian and Linda Shubring for recording all of these episodes here and just taking the time to share a little peek under the hood of our team engagement session. We hope that it helps give you and your team some practical, actionable steps that you can take in whatever it is that you're facing. And remember that this is a lifelong process. You never actually arrive and become 100% able to deal with change or conflict or communication or collaboration. But as long as you're actively working towards a healthier team and organizational setting, well, then you're doing it right. Be sure to check out the accompanying blog post for all of these sessions with different activities and things that you can do right now today with your team. Thank you for listening to the Leadership Vision Podcast, where we share our expertise in the discovery, practice, and implementation of a strengths-based approach to people, teams, and culture. For more resources about developing your strengths, the strengths of your team, or the strengths of your entire organization, that's everybody, visit us on the web at leadershipvisionconsulting.com. And if you found value from this episode or any of our content, we'd appreciate it if you would subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. And please leave us a review. And please share this podcast and any of our other resources with anyone you think might benefit from going deeper into our strengths-based approach to individual, team, and organizational development. I'm Nathan Freeberg, and on behalf of our entire team, thanks for listening.